the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God sent glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross blood so divine, beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. But then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy at last I lay. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Christ is risen.
Amen. I need a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior, but I need a risen Savior. Amen? Does anybody here need a risen Savior? A life-giving, life-flowing Savior? Not a dead prophet, not a dead religious leader, but a life-giving Savior, because my life is tied up in His life. Without Him, I can do nothing. I need His life. Amen. There is the credentials of a great leader. One that raises up from the dead and conquers the grave. Woo! Hallelujah. Fill the joy. Lord, we receive You today. Your life, Lord God. Fill us with Your life today, Lord. Drive out the darkness and drive out any death that has come into this house. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. And darkness rejoices, though heaven has lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand.
Resurrection power this very hour in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor Dan's coming with a reading of the scriptures.
If you want to turn in your hymnals to 214, there's going to be a responsive reading. 214. After the Sabbath, at the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake,
for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it.
His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, and they shook and became like dead men.
The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified.
He is not here. He is risen, just as He said.
He is not here. He is risen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Testify, brother.
Well, even over this last few days, I've had some time to just wind down a little bit because of having Friday off, and my wife doesn't know, but I have Monday off as well.
We won't tell her, because you'll be doing visitation. She'll just think you're at work.
Visiting my pillow and blanket. Just having some time to wind down, and it can be almost scary to just slow down a little bit, because when you're going so busy and you're just the speed of life, just kind of the current takes you along, and then you get to just kind of come, and Friday I really had very little to do with the service, but it was nice to just be here with the church and just kind of soak in the vision that Debbie had and the experience of everything, and it was just a real blessing for me and a real just filling up the tank that was running on near empty. And I hope that church for you is an experience of just getting filled up. Mm. And, you know, the idea that, oh, we have to go to church, it's, you know, it's time out of our day and we've got things to do, but I hope that this place would be a place of just a filling and a place where you would leave here refreshed and excited about what God is doing. And I think that Friday to me was a real example of just the blessing of being in the house of God and
yes.
and the experience of being around His people, and just the filling that we experience as a result of His of the gifts that he puts into us to encourage one another. And so I'm just going to pray that God would fill us up this morning through the word.
Yeah.
The worship was just incredibly blessed, and just so thankful for the Gallaghers for leading us. And so I just want to pray that as Pastor kind of leads into the word, and anything else that's maybe taking place, that we would just, that God would fill us up, and that we would leave this morning excited about what he's doing in our lives, that he is alive and that he's moving. And so let me just pray. Father, I thank you for Harmony Church. I thank you for this house, Lord, this place that is really your home. You love to abide in this place, and it's your home because your people are here.
Yes, Lord.
Not because of a building or some special thing that has to do with this place, but it's where your people dwell, and you reside amongst your people. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you would minister to us through the word, through the message that you've birthed in Pastor Bruce's heart, that God, that you would bless us and that you would help us to leave this place encouraged, strengthened, and excited about what you're doing, because you are alive and that you're on the move, Lord, that you're working in the people around us, whether we see it or not. You're active in those that we're praying for, and there are miracles just around the corner. And I just pray that we would just continue to believe and press forward, knowing that our Lord has defeated death.
Yes, Lord.
And that we carry that message and hope with us wherever we go. So thank you for being a risen Savior and a God who loves us enough to die on a cross and to overcome death. And Jesus, you're alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father. The work is done. And God, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
No other name. No other name like the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to preach the word "hi" today because, well, build them and they will come. Well, they built it for Good Friday, and just for a joke, I thought, well, we would preach the word "hi" and lift it up on this resurrected morning. In Europe, during the Protestant Reformation, and the Hundred Years' War in Germany, as well as the wars in the cantons of Switzerland, the cathedrals or the churches would go back and forth. They would be Catholic one month, and then they would go back to Protestant. And as the wars went on, they would go back and forth. And so the Protestants took over the churches, and because they believed that the preaching of the word had to be higher than the altar where the sacrifice was, they built steps and built these preaching lecterns way up high. In Europe, you'll see them, the lecterns way up high, so that the preaching of the word is always higher than the sacrament. And so we preach the word high and lift it up today. If I get excited, woo, glory to God. Amen. If I get excited, amen. I want us to turn to Luke chapter 24 and look at this word of God here for a few minutes on this resurrection morning. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 36. Luke chapter 24 and verse 36 says this. If somebody's there, say amen. A couple of you are there. I'm going to go ahead. While they were telling these things, what were they telling? You should never jump in the paragraph like that, but what they were talking about was the witness of the women. What they were talking about was the witness of the two fellows from the Emmaus Road experience who had experienced the resurrected Jesus. And while they were talking about these things, he himself stood in their midst, and he said unto them, "Shalom, peace, peace be unto you." But they were startled and they were frightened and they thought that they were seeing a spirit. Hadn't quite got a hold of this resurrection story thing, even though Jesus had preached it to them. Even though in Mark chapter 9 you can read it, how he declared specifically what it was that was going to happen. They hadn't quite grasped it, even though the women had been there and seen it. Even though Brother Peter himself had went and saw the empty tomb. Even though two well-known and reputable fellows had seen and talked to Jesus on the road to Emmaus, they still hadn't quite gotten it yet. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? I say to you, you people in the resurrection, that is to say, this post-resurrection time of Jesus, we who are the partakers of the Holy Spirit, we who are in that time frame where Jesus is alive and amongst us by His Spirit, I ask you this very question, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Because you know you get troubled and you know you get doubts, don't you? He said this in verse 39, see my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it, because of their joy and amazement, he said unto them, have you anything to eat? I'll go a little further. They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and he ate it before them. And now he said unto them, these are my words which I spake unto you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. Father, we thank you, O God, for your holy word, and we thank you for the resurrected power of Jesus, which moves through us even this morning in this service and through the worship and the word and the drama and all these things. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us, Lord, of your Spirit, that we may enjoy his presence amongst us. We thank you, Lord, that death has been defeated, and although we doubt and although we struggle and although we go through hard times and difficulties, Lord, we know that there's light at the end of the tunnel because there's resurrection light always before us. Thank you, Father God, for that light. Draw us into that light, Lord. Draw us in today by your Spirit into the glorious resurrection light. Draw us, Lord, and put out the darkness and the shadows that we have picked up along the way so that we may be sanctified and purified in your presence, O Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus today? I'm looking for him. Are you looking for him? The disciples were confused and bewildered because they thought that his body had been stolen. They got that much of the revelation that his body was not in the tomb because Peter had already seen that his body was gone. How do you lose a body? I have. But I promised never to tell these stories until I left Dundas County. But it came to me before I was thinking there this morning. You know, one time I went and got the wrong body. 13 years working in the funeral home business, and nearly earlier days, you know, there's a reason why they have those bands around you when they go into the hospital. It's so the undertaker can identify you at the end. You always thought it was for some other reason, but that's what it's for, you know. Remember one time I went there and parked my hearse in the place in some hospital I will not mention on Carling Avenue. And I parked in there, and I took the mile and a half walk to go to a third floor to go back into the records department to get my paperwork and show my identification and get the paperwork and walk down and go in there and ring the bell three times. It's kind of a process. And then some guy comes out. You come in. You give the paperwork. He goes in. He gets out of the cooler appropriate body. You assign for it, and you load them onto your thing. And so I loaded this little old lady, and boy, was she heavy. And as I loaded her on, I thought, boy, she's heavy. Man, she's pretty healthy for 89. I mean, healthy in the sense that she's dead, but you know what I mean. And so as I'm driving down Carling Avenue, I'm thinking, 89 years old. She's awfully heavy. I began to think, I didn't check the armband, did I? The wristband. And so I pull along the Carling Avenue and I wonder, how am I going to get out in the traffic and go back there, open up, go in, unzip, go inside the plastic bag, feel around, find the armband and check it. And so I decided, I'm just going to go back to the Civic. So I go back to the Civic Hospital and there is one of our good undertakers from the city, and they've lost the body. I've got the body that they're looking for. And sure enough, it was, I had picked up the wrong one. And ever after that day, I always checked to make sure that I had the right person with me. So I know it can happen. I know people can be misplaced. Mr. Tubman took his. I took mine. We went merrily on our way. But this wasn't a misplaced body. 64-year-old Herzl Eitzel had been admitted to the hospital in Austria, was in the news recently, because she had a very sore stomach. There were stomach pains. Several days later, she went home and was released from the hospital and then understood why none of her good relatives came to visit her while she was there, because they were shocked when she walked through the door. Because the hospital had made two mistakes. First of all, they called them and said that their mother had died, and she hadn't. And when they went looking for Mom, she wasn't there, and they apologized and said, "We've lost the body." Some undertaker had come, maybe, I don't know. That's what they may have thought. But when she walked into the house, here they were making the preparations for the funeral. Here they were making, they were in mourning. They were just in disbelief, and she shocked them. Her son Leopold, good Austrian name, he said, "I could not believe it when she walked through the front door. We were all sitting in black, planning her funeral. At least it explains why we could not find the body." That's a great reason why you couldn't find the body. Because Mom's alive. Here Jesus walks into the room, actually appears. It says here, while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst. He didn't knock on the door. He appeared in their midst. And while they were in their mourning, wondering what to do, wondering where the body was, they were so disappointed. Everything was falling apart, it seems. There was such confusion. All the stages of grief were mumbled together. They were angry. They were in shock. They were disappointed. Some were doing business with God. "Lord, where do we go now from here?" These are all natural emotions that come when we experience death, but it wasn't because of a mix-up. It was because he had risen from the dead, and there he was in the midst of them, despite the testimony of the women. Verse 9, in the same chapter, you'll find the testimony of the women. In verse 12, you will find another testimony. That is the testimony of the empty tomb. Peter heard that testimony. Then there was, despite the testimony of verse 33, it was the testimony of the two witnesses on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and the other dude that they don't mention his name. But what really had to nail it for them was the testimony of verse 36, when Jesus shows up. Is that what nails it for you? Well, you heard this testimony and you heard that story and you have the evidence, the physical evidence. And we looked at Lee Strobel movie not too long ago where he is a reporter and he is looking for the evidence, and he comes to the point of understanding that the evidence for the empty tomb is overwhelming. And an atheist turns Christian because of the evidence. These guys, they were not even convinced by the physical evidence that was there. And what they needed was Jesus to show up in person. Is that the kind of evidence that you need this morning? Jesus showing up. You see, he builds on all of these other evidences and he makes that personal encounter. And friends, it is the personal encounter that seals the deal, doesn't it? When Jesus shows up in the midst and makes himself real and makes himself known, then all the doubts, all the fears, everything go away. All who seek him get to experience this. All who seek him. You can seek the Lord and you may not have a whole lot of evidence, but God will come to you and he will reveal himself to you. You may be a seeker that has to really get a lot of different people and a lot of different voices coming to you first before he actually shows up in your life. But someday he will show up in the midst of your conversation about him and you will get to know him. You see, it's one thing to talk about him and it's another thing to talk with him. Isn't it, friends? There's a lot of talk about Jesus in church. Not nearly enough talk with Jesus. There's a big difference. They say it's rude to interrupt a conversation. Did your mama not tell you that? It's rude to come and interrupt a conversation. Somebody's having a conversation. In verse 36, here they are, and they're talking about him, and they're talking about this and that, especially when they're talking about you. You don't want to interrupt them. You want to actually, I kind of like to hear what they have to say about me. I have been in various coffee shops in our area, and I have sat and listened to them talk about Harmony Church. Remember one time, the bunch of old fellas at Louis' restaurant, they were talking about one guy had come to a men's breakfast that we had in Morwood, and he kind of come in because he thought the place was open, but it wasn't. And anyways, he wandered around, and we invited him, he could stay, and anyways, he went. And then anyways, that week later, I'm sitting at Louis, and I'm hearing the old fellas having their coffee time, and he's talking about Harmony Church, and I'm sitting back wondering, what's he going to say? And so he talks about, oh, I went in there, and they were shouting, and they were dancing, and they were rolling on the floor. And then I shouted, Hallelujah, brother! And because, I won't say his name, some of you might know him from Morwood, he was kind of hard of seeing, he looked over, he couldn't see who it was, and so he kept on, and then I went, Praise the Lord! And all the other guys, the old fellas, knew who I was, and they started, and they knew this guy told tales. I like to hear what they have to say about me. But Jesus comes, and I guess it's okay for Jesus to interrupt us. Is it okay if Jesus would interrupt you? Do you mind him interrupting you when you're talking about him? I mean, I'm at the first quarter of my sermon here now. It would be rude for Jesus to come and interrupt me, would it? No, Lord Jesus, come and interrupt. Anybody, anytime, come, Lord Jesus, come and interrupt this talk of mine. Interrupt this service. Lord, come here and do something special and wonderful amongst us. Reveal yourself to us. There are many gatherings of so-called religious leaders and so-called Christians that would not want Jesus to interrupt what they're doing because it would throw everything out, wouldn't it? It would really throw a wrench into their religion. We need to experience a bit of Deus interruptus. God come and interrupt us. Jen Hatmaker wrote a book recently, 2014. It was called Interrupted. It's some of the ladies may be familiar with this because she did a ladies' ministry. She talks about how her, as a pastor's wife, they had the perfect church. I don't know what that looks like personally, but they had the perfect church in the sense that it was a mid-American, a well-to-do, affluent church. The pastor, her husband, was well paid for what he did. And they lived in a gated community and they had all that they needed. And the church was thriving and growing and was working its way toward a mega church. And everything was just wonderful. And they were Republican voting and Jesus quoting. And then Jesus shows up and messes it all up. Amen? She said he really messed it all up. Because they actually started to seek Jesus. They started to seek him and not just doctrine. They started to seek him and not just religion. They started to seek him and not just the politics of the day. And guess what? Jesus showed up and messed it all up for them. Do you hear Jesus speaking to you today? You see, there is a sign of the resurrected Lord. It's not just that he shows up, but that he actually speaks. And what he speaks to them first, he asks them a series of questions. The resurrected Jesus is not only to be present amongst us, but he is to be heard when he speaks. And the first thing that Jesus speaks to the people is something to break their fear. You see, he really needs to address that stronghold of fear. Are you afraid of the presence of Jesus? You say, oh no, I'd be glad. But what would he want you to do about, you know, that thing, that issue? The first thing Jesus comes and he breaks their fear. And listen to this. This is, I felt the Lord revealing this to me. Until you get over the fear of him being near, you won't be able to hear. Isn't that poetic? Until you get over the fear of him being near, you won't be able to hear. He does this by asking questions. Yes, he actually wants us to think, believe it or not. We do not serve a God who wants a mindless religion, but he wants us to engage in thinking, engage in the questions. And all that he asks are these questions. Why are you troubled? Or why are you doubt? What's going on with you? He gives us the opportunity to feel him then and to know him by touch, by feelings. That can be scary. When you give Jesus your heart, we say that as to the children in ministry, we give your heart to Jesus. Well, isn't the heart representing the emotions? Or do you hold back your emotions because you're afraid of what would happen to you if you let Jesus take it all? If you were given the opportunity, as Jesus gave these lads the opportunity, to touch him, to feel him, to embrace his hands that were wounded, and to put your hand into his wounded side, would you take him up on the opportunity? Or would you say, no thanks, I see you, that's enough. I'm okay. I don't want to go there. That's just too freaky. Bill Bright used to say this, and Bill Bright was a guy that did evangelism, and he used to say this. He said, emotions are something that we have to have along. It shouldn't be the locomotive that drives our train of faith, but it should at least be the caboose that comes in behind. Perhaps the reason why we're not inviting Jesus, that we're not taking Jesus up on the invitation to touch him and to feel him and to experience him, is because our need isn't full enough. We're not desperate enough to allow him to touch us. Listen, a few chapters earlier, in fact, the entire Gospel of Luke and other Gospels as well, every sick person was desperate for Jesus to touch them. Every blind person was desperate for Jesus to touch them. Every rejected member of society was wanting, begging, pleading from trees, where they were perched looking, from roadsides where they were at the side begging, from outside the cast of gates. They were begging for Jesus to touch them. And yet his own people, do we not want him to touch us again and again? He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me. He made me whole. These blind and these cripples and these other folks had only touched the pre-resurrected Jesus, and now he was there in the room present saying, I'm ready to touch you. He even went one step further. Not only did the resurrected Lord reveal himself and speak to them, he invited to touch them, but also it says after that that there was still a bit of a struggle in belief. And so what did he say? He says, do you have anything to eat? What was that about? Was he hungry? Was the resurrected body of Jesus hungry? No, it was an invitation to fellowship. If you read previously in the road to Emmaus, that the boys, when they got to their place at Emmaus, they took Jesus in and he sat down and he ate with them. And it was when he ate with them, it was when he engaged in intimate fellowship with them that their eyes were opened. Hallelujah. And they realized it was him. You see, there is a level of intimacy that Jesus is inviting. The resurrected Jesus. Where are you at with this Jesus? Have you seen Jesus today? At what level of revelation has he come to you? I hate fish. They stink and they're slimy, and I don't like the smell of them cooking. But I tell you what, if Jesus invited me to have fish, oh, bring it on, Lord. Bring the haddock on or whatever it is. I want to have intimacy with Jesus. Have you seen Jesus today? What have you heard him saying? Has his presence changed the way you see things? Verse 45, I want to draw your attention there. Here's another level of intimacy. See, so often we start with the intellect. And then in our society, in our culture, by the way, our culture is geared that way. We are very gnosis. We are very Greek, very Western in our thinking, very what's called Alexandrian. And so what happens here is he says in verse 45, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You see, Jesus is saying at the beginning of this, listen, see me, feel me, experience me. And once you do that, I'll open up your minds. We try to think it through, and we can't. You try to think through your troubles. You try to think through your trials. You try to explain to yourself what's going on in this world. You try to explain to me a child dying. You try to explain to me a natural disaster. You try to explain to me all the things that are going on in this world. You try to explain to me the logic of a man leaving his family and his wife and going and breaking up another home. All kinds of things happen in this world. What? We try to figure it out. We try to explain it to ourselves. We try to figure these things out. The Lord Jesus says, just enjoy me. And I'll touch your minds. And then you'll make some sense out of it. He opens up the word to us. Only two other places in Scripture is this word opened used. One was in this very chapter. In earlier on in chapter 24 where he came along and it says of the two boys on the road to Emmaus that says, and when they ate with him, he opened their eyes. Their eyes were opened. Same word. The other place in Scripture where it is used of is Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, talking about Lydia, a woman who was seeking God. And Paul the Apostle comes to her and preaches the Word of God to her, and it says this, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. God takes those who are seeking Him, but there is still a sovereignty, there is still an act of God that needs to reveal Himself to us. Paul could not do it. Paul tried it, the Athenian elders. Paul tried it before King Agrippa. He tried to explain himself with all the eloquence that he could muster up, but it's still an act of God to open up the hearts, the minds, and the eyes of individuals. We need the resurrected Jesus, friends. We need the resurrected Jesus. You see, the resurrected Jesus not only interrupts us, but then he opens up our mind and our hearts and our eyes so we can understand and see his word and understand what his spirit is saying to the church. The resurrected Jesus opens minds, he opens eyes, he opens hearts. These are all various ways of saying the very same thing. We need him. Friends, do you realize how badly you need Jesus? I was talking to the church folk. Do you realize how badly we need a resurrected Jesus? Do you understand that we don't understand without Him? It doesn't make sense without Him. We can't understand it without Him. We are wandering in confusion. We can say we believe in the resurrected Jesus. We can say we believe in Christianity. We can say we're Christians. But until we allow the intimacy of the resurrected Christ to come into our lives, I don't know. I don't get it. Lord, help me. I don't get it. I need Him. Because I don't get it so often. I need that intimacy of the resurrected Jesus so that I can understand that how many of us long for Lord. If you seek Him, He will do it. He will open your eyes. He will open your hearts. He will open your mind. Before the resurrection, they didn't quite get it. I quoted Mark chapter 9 before, how that the disciples, they heard the message of Jesus. He specifically told them that He was going to die and that He would raise again from the dead on the third day. And they heard it and they didn't get it. There are so many things that we just don't get. And we need the intimacy of Jesus. Would you pray a very dangerous prayer with me today? Lord Jesus, interrupt us. Lord Jesus, come into our midst and interrupt my religion. Interrupt my Christianity. Interrupt my life. Interrupt my business. Interrupt my family. Interrupt the things that I'm doing and the places that I'm going. Interrupt it, Lord, with Your presence. And bring Your resurrected life. And Lord, I am afraid because I have my own ways and my own things and my own ideas. And I know that when You come in a deep way, it's going to change the way I think. And I kind of like the way I think. But Lord, I'm willing to touch You. I'm willing to take You up on Your offer of holding out Your nail-pierced hands and grabbing a piece of fish and sitting down with me. Lord, I'm willing to step into the intimacy that You offer so that my mind, the troubled mind and the heavy heart and the weary eyes of seeing the things that I see in this world around me, so that they may make some sense. That I may understand Thy word. Thank You, Lord, for dying. Thank You, Lord, for living so that I may make sense of this world. Thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, for being present amongst us today. Amen.
I heard the King of Ages was passing by this wind. Tell him I've been looking for him to worship and adore him. Has anyone seen Jesus today?
Sing it again, sister, as sister comes to the piano. Have you seen Him?
I heard the King of Ages was passing by this way. Tell Him I've been looking for Him to worship and adore Him. Has anyone seen my Jesus today?
Amen.